Well, now we continue tonight our study from the Epistle to the Hebrews. Each text beginning with two words, let us. Hebrews chapter 4, last time we studied verse 1, let us fear, let us be cautious. Tonight we go to verse 11, let us labor. Hebrews 4 and 11, let us labor, let us be diligent, let us work. And as we shall see, there is no excuse for any believer not working. Let us labor. Now first, let's look at a few texts that indicate that God does not approve of laziness. That we know that, of course. But it's always nice to confirm these things from the Word of God. So let us look at Proverbs chapter 6, please. Proverbs chapter 6. And verse 6. Proverbs 6. Verse 6. Go to the ant, thou sluggard, soulful one, lazy one. Go to the ant and consider her ways and be wise. Who having no guide, overseer, or ruler, provideth her meat in the summer and gathereth her food in the harvest. How long will you sleep, O sluggard? When will you arise out of your sleep? Let me ask you, beloved, I have always liked animals. One of the greatest joys I find in life is going to the zoo. I like to go to the zoo. And I like to watch the little animals around in the gardens. And in all my life, I have never seen a lazy ant. Anybody? You've seen an ant that wasn't doing something? I like to watch them as they're going all in one direction. Just going. But then the others are coming back in the other direction, and each has something in its mouth. Consider the ants. Chapter 22, please. Verse 13. The slothful man, the lazy man. Proverbs 22:13 says, there is a lion outside, and if I go out there, the lion will kill me. Not that there's really a lion out there, but he's lazy, and he doesn't want to go out. And he's using an excuse. And you know that's one of the troubles in our nation? We talk about crime. One of the reasons for crime is that people don't want to work. They're lazy, and they want to get money the easy way. Chapter 26, please. Verses 13 through 15. Chapter 26, verse 15, or 13, I should say. The slothful man saith, there is a lion in the way, a lion is in the streets. Now, when God says something, it's important. And when he says it twice, it's very important. And sometimes he says the same thing three times. Once is enough. But here he says it the second time. The slothful man saith, there is a lion in the way, a lion is in the streets. As the door turneth upon its hinges, so doth the slothful man upon his bed. The slothful man hides his hand in his bosom, and it hurts him to bring it to his mouth. Well, he realizes. He hides his hand and doesn't even want to pick up the food that's available. God does not like it. Now we all remember. Remember when you were in school and you learned about the grasshopper and the ant? Everybody remembers that. I think I have it here. The grasshopper and the ant. Yes. I like these little stories, you know, these little fables. You learn so much from them. One frosty autumn day, an ant was busily storing away some of the kernels of wheat which he had gathered during the summer to tide him over the winter. A grasshopper, half perishing from hunger, came limping by. Perceiving what the industrious ant was doing, he asked for a morsel of the ant's store to save his life. "What were you doing all summer while I was busy harvesting?" inquired the ant. "Oh," replied the grasshopper, "I was not idle. I was singing and chirping all along." "Well," said the ant, grimly, as he locked his granary door, "since you sang all summer, it looks as though you'll have to dance all winter." The Lord does not approve of laziness. Now let's take the Apostle Paul and see how this worked out in his life. Galatians chapter 1, please. Galatians chapter 1, verses 15 and 16. Galatians 1, 15 and 16. Now, I tell you from the very start that this is a difficult verse. I'm going to tell you what it means, and when you go home, look it up and check on it. Galatians 1, 15 and 16. "When it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace to reveal his Son in me, that I might preach him among the heathen, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood. When it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb." Now what does that mean? God separated him from his mother's womb. Does that mean that God was a midwife and delivered him? No. Check it when you go home from the Greek and all the other languages you know and all the other translations. The thought is this. God set me apart even when I was in the womb. You remember we read in Jeremiah 1 that Jeremiah, God told him, "I set you apart as a prophet before you were conceived." So that Paul was set apart. And by the way, all of us have been set apart, you know. We read that in Psalm 139. Before God formed us in the womb, he had a program for each one here. And I asked last time, and I asked again, I wonder if we are where we should be. God's program says that Arthur Gahn should be doing such and such a thing at this time. I wonder if I'm doing what God has written down in his program. If we're all, it's a very serious question. Let me go on. That was God's program. God's will for Paul. Now we go to chapter 9 of Acts. Acts chapter 9. Now my children, as I have told you before, are my greatest critics. Daddy, you turn to too many scriptures. They mean well, but I have not followed their advice. I don't know any other way to study the Bible if you don't turn to the scriptures. Check what you're saying with one scripture against another. And so when I speak, we turn to several scriptures. Even my wife has told me, "You turn to too many scriptures." I said, "I can't help it. I can't prove from just talking what the Bible says. So bear with me and turn to the scriptures. And then when you get home, read them over. I think you'll find there's a connection. Now we have seen that Paul was chosen in the womb. And each of us has been chosen in the womb. And God has a program for us. Now let's see how that program is carried out. Acts chapter 9. Oh, let's start. Verse 9. He was 3 days without sight, and neither did eat nor drink. There came a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias, and to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias. And he answered, Behold, I am here, Lord. Oh, isn't that nice? When the Lord calls, I am here. That was Samuel's trouble. The Lord called, and as we were studying last night, Samuel didn't know his voice. Oh, child of God, do you know the voice of the Lord? Do you know when the Lord is speaking? Do you know what his voice sounds like? To Elijah, it was a still, small voice. A gentle, soft whisper. And if we're going to hear the Lord's voice, we've got to keep still. Our trouble is that we move too much. That's why we don't hear the Lord's voice. And when you sit down with this word, sit still. Don't read fast. Oh, there's a lady, I forget her name, but anyhow, she's associated with speed reading. Now there's another one, pardon? Evelyn Woods. Now there's one that has come out recently, they tell me is even faster than speed reading. Don't speed read the scriptures. You won't hear the voice. Just take your time and gently sit and you'll hear the voice. Acts chapter 9. We read on. Verse 12. This man has seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him that he might receive his sight. Then Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard by many of this man how much evil he has done to thy saints at Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief priest to bind all that call on him. But, when did the Lord choose him? When he was in the womb. And here he is killing the Lord's people and putting them in jail. You wonder, is God's purpose going to be accomplished? Let's read. Verse 15, the Lord said unto him, Go thy way. He is a chosen vessel. When did the Lord choose him? At this point, he was chosen in the womb. And we have been chosen in the womb. I like the way it reads in Ephesians 1:6. We were chosen before the foundation of the earth. We look at the earth and the heavens and the skies, oh, are there my... Well, before all of those were created, God chose me. That, to me, that's a thrilling thought. God chose me before he created this earth. I must be important. We read on. Verse 15, the Lord said unto him, Go thy way. He is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. And Ananias went his way and entered into the house, and putting his hands on him said, Brother Saul. Oh, isn't that nice? Here's this man killing off the Lord's people, doing all sort of evil to the Lord's people. He is saved, and Ananias calls him Brother Saul. I remember a time in New York. I thank the Lord for the young men here. You all are nice. You had some rude ones up there. And one young fellow there said, Oh, you all go around calling brother and sister. That's just a lot of nonsense. He said, No, that's Bible. Brother Saul. And others are called brother. And others are called sisters. We don't just do that to be doing it. It's the scriptural teaching. And I like so much to say sister so much. So a sister in the Lord. A brother in the Lord. It's so precious. We read on. Verse 17. Ananias went his way, entered into the house, putting his hands on him, said, Brother Saul. You pardon the interruption again. I have that mark in my Bible. I find it so precious. And it is precious. I have some relatives that are not saved. Do you know that you all are closer to me than those relatives? We are one in the Lord. What a bondage. But that's not the subject. I better keep on. Huh? Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest, hath sent me that thou mightst receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. And read on. That's Saul's conversion. But that's not when he was chosen. He was chosen before he was even in the womb. Let's go on. Chapter 20, please. Working for the Lord. Diligence in the service of the Lord. Let us labor. Let us be diligent. Chapter 20, verse 22. And now, behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save that the Holy Spirit witnesses in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. Oh my. Did the Lord save him for that? What would you do? The Lord said bonds and afflictions. Would you quit? Remember the text. Let us labor. Let us go on. But I like verse 24. None of these things move me. Neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. There is a man that's determined to go on to the end, to labor to the end. Chapter 26. And to King Agrippa, he is relating his conversion. Look at verse 19. Whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision. But to me, that's noble. He's been chosen. He knows that there are difficulties ahead. But he says, I wasn't disobedient. This is a man that's diligent, that's applying himself. 2 Timothy chapter 6, please. Well, before we go there, Galatians 6 and 11. Galatians 6 and 11. Let us be diligent. Galatians 6 and 11. You see, does everybody have it? You see how large a letter I have written unto you with my own hand. What happened? Now, we don't know what was wrong, but when you write with large letters, something's wrong with your eyes. I remember up to age 42, I could read without glasses. But after that, something happened. I need these glasses. And I admire. You see, I look at more than you think I look at. And some of you have Bibles with that fine, fine print, and I wonder, how do you read? But the time comes, if you live long enough, when you have to write with larger letters, and you need a larger print. You go to the bookstore and you'll find a section there, giant print Bibles. That's for us old people. Something has happened to the vision. Can't see so well. So something was wrong with Paul's vision. I wonder if that stopped him. I wonder if that stopped him. Romans chapter 16. Or before we go there, Paul wrote the letter to the Galatians with large letters, see? And he wrote that letter in the year 58 A.D. He wrote the letter, I shouldn't say he wrote, I'm giving it away, to the Romans 2 years later. Well, if he couldn't see to write well in Galatians, who wrote Romans? Romans chapter 16. The Bible's a wonderful book when you get with it. He had difficulty in writing in the year 58. And this is 2 years later. And there is the epistle to the Romans by Paul. Who wrote it? Chapter 16, somebody has already said it, verse 22. Paul did not write the epistle to the Romans. He dictated it. Why did he dictate it? Because he had eye trouble. Verse 22, I, Tertius, who wrote this epistle, salute you. Paul didn't write the epistle to the Romans. Tertius wrote it because Paul's vision was poor. His vision was poor, but that didn't stop him from serving the Lord, did it? And no matter what our defects are, we should still labor, we should still be diligent before the Lord. And there are many examples of that. I think of a brother, I believe his name was MacPherson, and he was in one of the assemblies to the west. I never met him, but I read of him, and I met a sister who knew him. At age 45, and up to that time, he used to read the Bible regularly and minister to the saints. At age 45, he was in an explosion. Lost the sight of both eyes, and both hands were severely burned. He said, I'm still going to minister to the saints. Couldn't see. He got a Braille Bible, but he had no fingertips, so he couldn't read Braille. And he decided to study and read Braille with his lips. That didn't work. So he used his tongue, and that worked. 45 years with sight and feeling, and he died at age 90. 45 years without sight and without fingertips. But he labored on, he worked for the Lord. He was diligent. He was determined to serve the Lord and to minister to the Lord's people. And he read Braille with his tongue. He usually got to the meetings on time. But this time he was absent. He was missing. And they went to see what had happened. And there was dear old Brother MacPherson at his bedside, on his knees, in the attitude of prayer, and dead. That man was diligent. That man followed through. And this is what the Lord would have us to do, to be diligent followers of the Lord. Oh, I have a number of them here. You see, I like music, so I pick on the musicians. You remember Beethoven? We all know the story about Beethoven. In his early 40s, he couldn't hear well. And when he was 60, he couldn't hear at all. But that didn't stop him from writing music. He persisted and persisted. and he wrote one great concerto. They brought him to hear the concerto. All he did was sit down, saw them losing their bowls and whatnot. He didn't hear a thing. He wrote the music. You see what you can do? He wrote the music, but he couldn't hear it. And at the end of the piece, they had to have him stand and watch the people as they applauded. He didn't give up because of loss of hearing. And I think of another. We've all heard of that Greek orator, Demosthenes. Remember that? The great Demosthenes. As a child, he had a defect in his speech. And he would get pebbles and put them in his mouth and talk and talk and talk until he overcame the defect. But then he had a very weak voice. And he would go down to the seashore where those rocks were, the sea was dashing against the rocks, and he would speak and speak. Till he got to the point where when there was a storm and the sea was dashing against the rocks, you could hear his voice above the dashing of the rocks. Diligent. He labored, he applied himself, and that is what God would have us to do. Let us therefore be diligent. Let us therefore labor. We have a lot of musicians there. I like these young folks and their ability to play the piano. As a matter of fact, piano is my favorite instrument. I don't know what instruments there will be in heaven, but I've asked the Lord, if there's going to be any pianists, please let me play one. That's how much I like the piano. Well, now, Joseph Asher Hoffman was a short fellow. I often refer to these short fellows, the big head, you know, the genius. But he was a short fellow, and he had short fingers. And his piano teacher was Anton Rubinstein in Europe. Strict teacher. Good teacher. Poor little Joseph Hoffman, he said to his teacher, I can't fit in all the notes. My fingers won't... Do you think the teacher had any sympathy? He said, if you can't play the notes with your fingers, use your nose. That's right. And I had the joy of hearing Joseph Hoffman play. You want to know something? He never used his nose. He developed his fingers. And I have heard him play music that I don't believe the greatest pianist alive today can play. He applied himself. And that is what God would have us to do, to apply ourselves to the study of his word and to his service. Make no excuses. Oh, I have arthritis. I feel sorry for you. You've often heard us talk about Dr. Rhodes. Most of you never met him. He had arthritis. And you didn't have to be a doctor to know that he had it. You just looked at his hand and you could tell he had arthritis. That man wrote a letter every day to some one person or another. He applied himself. And I have told you this, but it's a story that he told me. They don't do it anymore. We used to have milkmen in those days. Only the older ones of us would know. The milkman would deliver your milk in a bottle at your door. And Dr. Rolls noticed that every morning that he went to the door, the milk was already there. So he decided to meet the milkman. And this morning, the milkman at 6 o'clock placed the milk bottle there. And he said to him, what time do you get up in order to get my milk here at 6 o'clock? The milkman said, I get up at 5 every morning. Dr. Rose says, if you can get up 5 to deliver milk, I can get up at 4 to study the Bible. How do you like that? That's application. That's diligence, and that's what we need. God does not appreciate and does not like laziness. Oh, you say, I'm old and disabled. That's no excuse. Grandma Moses was 100 years old and she painted. So, beloved, we have no excuse for not serving the Lord. And driving here today, Sister, I don't see it. Sister Betty drove me here. And she took me a different way from the way that Brother George takes. And so as we passed a certain place, she said, your house you lived in is up there. You used to live in something. I said, yes, Sister Betty. And that brought to mind something. Across the street from us was a young girl. I never saw her. My granddaughter knew her. But every morning at 6 o'clock or 5:45, an automobile would come and take this little girl away. Now that happened whether it was snow, cold, rain, heat, every morning at 5:45 or 6 o'clock, that car was there to take this young girl. I wonder where he was taking her. He was taking her to swimming practice. And she was the state champion in her division in the state of Maryland. Application. Constant application. Oh, too often we feel sorry for ourselves, don't we? We have a pity party. I'm so, I don't have so-and-so. Stop it. Let us apply ourselves. Let us labor. Let us work. What time is it? 8 o'clock. Time to stop. I could go on and tell you some others. Well, you all know the book. See, I'm not even waiting for your permission. We've all heard that great violinist, Itzhak Perlman. He had polio at age 4. And today he cannot walk. He uses 2 crutches, and when he's going to play, somebody has to bring the violin for him. Now I ask you, can he play a violin? You show me somebody that plays better than me. Diligence and application. He didn't feel sorry for himself. He applied himself. Let us labor. Let us work. And everyone has an assignment from the Lord, and each of us can do something for the Lord. Oh. Piano player. It's nice to hear these children play the piano. Brother John plays too. And then some of the other sisters, Brother Haley. There is a pianist. His name is Byron Janis. His elbow is stiff. Can you play a piano with a stiff elbow?
Right.
You're right. You can. His wrist is stiff. And he can only bend one finger. One joint and one finger, the rest of them are stiff.
But you should hear him play the piano.
He applied himself. And beloved, if I can get this point across, that is all I desire, let us apply ourselves to the work of the Lord, to the study of His Word, and to living His Word. I think I'm finished. There are more here. Shall I give you one more?
Go ahead.
Thomas Edison, great inventor. Oftentimes his wife would call, Tom, your dinner is ready. Yes, I'll be there, I'll be there. And he'd get there 2 hours later. And one day somebody asked him, how do you invent all of these things? Where do you get the inspiration? And Thomas Edison said, inspiration is 90% perspiration. That's how you get it. You work. In closing, I think it's 5:55. Yes, work, for the night is coming. There's going to come a time when you can't work anymore. I trust that the Lord will bless to us these thoughts. Let us labor. No excuse. No matter what the state of our health, no matter what our disability, we can work.
All of the older ones, when you were in school, you read the story of Helen Keller, didn't you? Mind and death. Yet she lectured regularly. Couldn't hear a word, but she could talk. Now you try it. I'll say no more. 5:55, please.